This is the Great Shalom Broadcast. My name is Sharon Sarles, and I have a special guest in the studio today, Will Bybee. Welcome, Will.
Hey, thank you for having me, Sharon.
Oh, it's great to have you. And we're going to be talking about turning the hearts of the sons to the fathers. And we're going to even talk later in the show about how to deal with our frustrating families. And but before that, I want to tell everybody that next week we will have our Christmas concert in which we will worship Jesus. We'll also enjoy homeschool children singing. It will be wonderful. The Christian Choral Society of Austin, led by Kathy Hargis, has agreed to share with us their Christmas music. And then on the 27th, we have a special program in which we will release healing prayers. So everyone is invited to write in their prayer requests and join us in worshiping the Lord and receiving His Christmas gifts. And so now, let's talk about turning the hearts of the sons to the fathers. Will and I have been talking about this, and it's all grounded in Malachi, the very last verses of the of what we call the Old Testament. Let me just read those. That'll kick us off. So Malachi 4 and 5. Behold, I am going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord, and he will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the land with a curse. But hallelujah, the Lord brought us a blessing. So tell us, what's on your heart?
Well, I guess the main thing on my heart these days is the last part of the verse. I mean, people talk a lot about the whole verse, turning the hearts of the fathers to the children, the hearts of the children to the fathers. But I happen to be 25 years old. I grew up in a Christian home. I actually still live at home with my parents, trying to finish up school. I work as an electrician's apprentice in the meantime. And just over the last couple of years, God has really, how should I say it? He's turned my heart towards my father in a way that I never really expected. And if I could, I'd like to read a little bit about that. I wrote something out just so I could read it. It won't be, you know, off the cuff, but it's a little bit of my story. It should take only a couple minutes, and then we'll start us off. So, what the Lord has been laying on my heart these days comes from that last part of Malachi 4:6, the part about turning the hearts of the children to the fathers. And it's kind of what I guess God's been dangling before me a lot. Like, what does that mean? And so I guess I would just say that I see God doing that in a big way these days, across the church and through my friends in a way that we'll explain a little bit later. Now, personally, I'll tell you a little bit what that looked like for me. I grew up in a fairly typical Christian house. I grew up as a fairly typical Christian teen. I went to a Christian school. I did pretty well at that school. I tried to please my parents. They would describe me as a good kid. I hope, Mom and Dad, you're listening. So I hope you would describe me as a good kid. And so I was into theology and apologetics and all that stuff. But even then, I think I was somewhat rebellious. I had that kind of natural American teen rebellion going on. And the way it manifested itself in me was I just kind of thought my parents didn't get it about everything. Even though, you know, they're good Christian people and love the Lord, whatever I was into, whether it was music or sports, I kind of thought, they don't get it, you know? And they would demonstrate at times that they didn't get it in various ways, you know?
Well, that's really endemic to American culture.
We think
we're it, you know, and we're kind of disrespectful to.
No, it's true, but it's a big problem. It's a big problem. It's a bad part of our culture, I would say. I mean, we lack honor, and we'll talk more about what that means later. Yeah. But so what was really funny, though, I want to point out is that even this interest I had in theology, like I had this interest in theology, I thought my parents didn't really understand that, even though I borrowed all their books to read about it, you know, stuff like that. My dad had a bunch of theology books, and I was getting into Francis Schaeffer and C.S. Lewis in a big way, and my dad had been to LaBrie, all of that, and I was more intense than he was at that time. You know, he was in a different, doing different things. The Lord had led him on to different things, but I don't know. It's kind of hard to describe. As a teen, you just think your parents don't get it. They're not with it. Whether you're hardcore going for the Lord or rebelling, going towards the world, your parents don't get it. It's kind of a strange thing, a strange dichotomy, really. Yeah. But it's just rebellion. That's what it is.
In the flesh. Like, we think nobody gets it, really.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. But it's we think that, but I guess it's not true also. It's really not true. So what this did, I think, at that time is it blinded me to receive the good things that I could get from my parents. Mm-hmm. Now, both my folks are... I mean, Dad's just, I mean, really now he's one of my heroes. He really is. He's up there. The biggest people that I admire. John Wimber, Dad, Heidi Baker, you know, people like that. I just, those are my three heroes, if you know who those people are. So, but I guess my dad had always lived by faith. One thing I've, even when I was growing up, my dad's a Christian writer. God called him to write books, Christian literature. He wrote a series of books called the Spirit Flyer series. His name's John Bybee. Really good books. They're out on InterVarsity Press. Mm-hmm. Worth reading. Totally shaped the way I view the spiritual world. They're kind of spiritual allegory, a la C.S. Lewis. And God had called him to do this. He went with it, even though it didn't pay much, even though, I mean, he's a smart guy and can do a lot of things to make more money, but God called him to do it. And so I was living with this man who really is a great man of faith, who lived by faith, and Mom went along with it, and she's also a great woman of faith, but I didn't see that. And I really couldn't, I guess, thus I could not receive what they had to offer. And in my rebellion, I just kind of wandered my own way, even though in many ways it wasn't a bad way. I just got into theology and apologetics and doing well in school and was more academically ambitious. But to make a long story short, through some trying circumstances in the last few years, God really brought me around to realize who my dad is. Like this realization that my dad is one of my heroes. This was a big thing. It happened a couple summers ago. Mm-hmm. And I honestly never thought that would happen, you know, because I could see what was wrong. I could see the places that he'd screwed up as a father, mm-hmm. which we can always do. It's easy to concentrate on those. You know, Dad didn't say he loved me enough. You know, my dad, I don't know, he just seemed distant at times or got upset about things he shouldn't have got upset about, like everyone's parents, I mean, honestly. But if you just, I'd concentrated on what Dad had not done and what God had not done through my father. And I kind of, for lack of a better phrase, tried to feed myself on that. And mm-hmm. trying to feed myself on nothing or lack, I just got more and more hungry. And
oh, yeah, and Satan will help on that. That's his special job, to put yeah. out people's deficiencies and make us focus on that.
Yeah, it's true. And I really would say that, you know, a root of bitterness had grown up in me towards my father. Like, I really would. I mean, I was writing this down. I guess I'm not reading off of it now, but I didn't put that here, but I really felt like that is what happened. I had to deal with that. And Lord had to deal with me on that. Mm-hmm. And he's done it in a great way that's, I guess, how would I say it? Turned my heart towards my dad. Like mm-hmm. I pursue my dad more. I ask him questions. I listen to him. You know, he's a wise man and I realize it now, right? Mm-hmm. As I didn't when I was, say, 15 years old. Mm-hmm. And it's just been, how would I say it? It's just opened up a treasure chest of things that I can learn from this great man. I still live at home. I feel like the Lord told me to stay at home. I mean, I could have moved out and it would have made a lot of sense. And I'd look a lot normal to a lot more people if I did at the age of 25. Yeah. I felt like the Lord said, stay at home. You can learn a lot from this man. You can learn a lot from these your parents and you can serve them and pray for them and do all these things. So I want you here. Mm-hmm. So that's part of what's on my heart, at least.
Okay, so how did you turn?
How did I turn?
I mean, yeah, a couple years ago, there was a change. So what were the first steps in that?
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, the Holy Spirit did a major work in my life. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had kind of a personal crisis and I cried out to God and the Holy Spirit came and touched me in a major way. And I would say I got filled with the Holy Spirit in a way that it describes in the book of Acts, mm-hmm. you know, and, prophesied for the first time, spoke in tongues. It's kind of strange stuff, I know, but it just really changed my heart. Before, it wasn't that I didn't love God and wasn't going after him in some ways, but there was a lot of me, a lot of my life that I held on to. I hadn't really surrendered all yet. Mm-hmm. And so I surrendered my life in a much bigger way than I ever had to following the Lord. And the Lord used that to bring up all this hurt and wounding that I had had before. He's like, you can't go along further. You can't go further along than you are now without getting rid of this. Mm-hmm. And so I just started to look and basically repent, you know, change. I was like, I've got to change my way of thinking about my dad. That was one of the first things that came up. Mm-hmm. It's like, I've got to change my way of thinking in this area. And, you know, that's what repentance means. The Greek word metanoia, change your way of thinking. And so I started pursuing my dad. I just said, you know what? This guy is cool. He's done all this stuff. The Lord showed me, like, here's what your dad has done. Here is how he has gone after me mm-hmm. over the years. And I just thought, wow, this guy's, he's great. He's not just the guy who used to embarrass me in middle school. You know, I mean, whatever. I mean, he did it intentionally at times of his own admission, but it's okay. I forgive him now. And I'll probably do the same thing to my kids. It's given me thicker skin, I'm sure. Thank you, Dad. But and so I just had this realization. So I started talking with him. I'd pray with him. I talked with him about some of the stuff that had been difficult for me growing up with him, and he listened. He's a really good listener. Mm-hmm. Works in prayer ministry, prays with a lot of people about a lot of stuff. And it was just, I don't know, just kind of kicked something off. And since then, we've gone to conferences together, you know, various sorts. Go see Bill Johnson together. We minister together at church on occasion, pray for people, prophesy over people, whatever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my dad has just been a real father, spiritual father to me in a way that I could not receive earlier. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of opened me up to that and sent me forward to kind of go after him in mm-hmm. a way.
Mm-hmm. So the lessons that anybody might glean out of your story is cry out to God, mm-hmm. you know, go with the conviction,
yeah.
let the Lord fill you, let the yeah. Lord change your heart, and then pursue the Father,
yeah.
literally or figuratively, and mm-hmm. receive from their excellences, from their gifts that they have to give. Now, not everybody will have a father who is even a believer, if we're
yeah.
talking about their biological father.
Yeah.
But everyone has their particular expertise yeah. and is willing to give that, usually. And of yeah. course, we could apply this to figurative fathers, too.
It's true.
Yeah. So we were going to talk about honor. Let's talk about, what does honor mean?
Okay, what does honor mean? What does honor mean? Well, how do I, the first verse that pops into my head comes out of Ephesians. It's Ephesians 5, where it talks about kind of, submit ye one to another, submit to one another. And also Philippians 2, I think, of about putting others before yourself, thinking of them before yourself. And I think at its core, honor is putting someone else before you and considering their needs before you consider your own. You honor God by looking and saying, God, what do you want me to do? Mm-hmm. You know, I want to do what you want me to do in this situation. I surrender all, or I surrender as much as I possibly can. Mm-hmm. I feel like I can at this moment. And with people, or in the case of my dad, how would I say it? I mean, first thing is get rid of the negative. You know, you get rid of the rebellion, you repent of that. And that kind of brings you up to ground zero. And so you get to that point, and then after that, you say, well, how can I bless this person, basically, mm-hmm. by, I guess, honor, in my case, for my dad, like listening to him, serving him. Those are kind of the practical outworkings, but it's really just a posture of the heart, and it's kind of hard for me to put a finger on it. Mm-hmm. But you posture yourself in a loving attitude towards the person that you're honoring. Mm-hmm. And so you could do this. You don't have to just be someone who's following someone or a son. You can be a father and honor your child. Mm-hmm. And you seek their best as the Lord leads you and wait and see what God will do, basically.
Mm-hmm. So honor is esteem.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we can honor everyone. But, of course, the relationship between children and parents is rooted in that fifth commandment, honor your parents.
Yeah.
And then there's promises, rewards for that.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Oh, death has been defeated and life has been released. No longer are God's people walking in defeat. We're rejoicing in the Lord for the victory. Celebrate the victory. Rejoice in what the Lord has done. Celebrate the victory. The enemy's on the
God wants you healed. We know this for many reasons. Read why in Sister Sharon's new book, God Wants You Healed. Turn away doubts and receive healing. It is not God's plan for any child to have pain or deficiency. Stop believing stories and get one step closer to God and healing by understanding God wants you healed. Send $15 to P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas, 78630.
Educators, reduce conflict on your staff, clear up business problems, and motivate your staff. Sharon Sarles will show you how. Yes, and recognized clock hours are available for early childhood and private school educators in Texas. For more information, go to www.orgstrat.net. That's O-R-G-S-T-R-A-T.net. training educators since 1990 and consulting since 1998.
This is the Great Shalom Broadcast. My name is Sharon Sarles, and my guest this morning is Will Bybee from the Bybee family, who I happen to know is active at Hope Chapel, and he's got a wonderful sister on the mission field. We're talking about turning the hearts of the sons to the fathers, and we know that this is something that the Lord will do before the great, notable day of the Lord. And we look to see Jesus, and the church is moving on. And specifically, we were talking about honor and how the relationship between generations is rooted in that commandment that we honor our parents. And been reading a book about honor and the reward that honor has. We're told specifically we'll live a long life if we honor our biological parents. But, of course, there are a lot of rewards in honoring those around us, both in authority, our peers, and even our children, people in our care. And been reading John Bevere's book, Honor's Reward. So this applies in a lot of ways, doesn't it? Not just with our natural father.
Yeah, I mean, I think it can apply anywhere. I mean, I think it could apply to going shopping and honoring the clerk or the cashier at the grocery store. I mean, you can just live. It's an attitude. It's a heart position of caring and looking out for their interests, you know, not being hard to get along with, even though you're tired and you know, they can't, your fruit's not scanning the way it should. They can't remember the code and they're searching through that little book. Just honor, wait, and I don't know, don't say anything. Be happy.
Mm-hmm. Right, and appreciate that they are trying to do their job.
Yeah.
And often we have to honor people's positions. Yeah. You know, sometimes our parents are not what they should be, but we honor them because they are our parents and because we are honoring God in that. Or maybe we disagree with what our pastor has just decided to do, but we honor the pastorate because we are honoring God in that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're looking for fathers, figurative fathers, you know, in this time of, I really think, the end times and an outpouring.
Yeah.
I see that God's doing a generational work and calling people into mentoring and into being mentored and to moving up, really making advances, and we can make advances more quickly if we don't each have to invent the wheel, as it were. Don't you think?
Yeah, that's a really good way of putting it. I think a lot of people my age, we, you know, even those of us who are really on fire for the Lord, we kind of come to this and we're looking around saying, well, who do I follow? And a problem I really feel we have right now, or something I've struggled with, like, who do I follow? Who's a good father to go after it in evangelism in a big way and go pray for the sick or go... In our case, we go prophesy over people on occasion. Like, who's doing this? And it's hard to find sometimes at your own church if the adults aren't into that. And it's not that they weren't passionate before, they were. Like, a lot of people in the Jesus People movement were doing awesome stuff. And for whatever reason, things have died down and some of the passion has gone down. And so we need, I guess, how would I say it? We want to have fathers in our passion, our zeal to go do these things we read about in the book of Acts and in the Bible. But we are sometimes stuck. We don't know what to do. And so we forget to ask people what it was like, you know, back in those days. And we don't honor them by saying, what were your experiences like? And we don't honor them by at least, you know, we may go for it. They might not feel led to go for it in the same way that they used to because they've changed and generational roles are different. Mm-hmm. But we still need to go to them and say, hey, would you pray for us, please? We need your blessing. We need you to pray. We need you to intercede because you have wisdom and authority and you can guide this ship because we're crazy. We've got a lot of energy, but we don't know where we're going. We need you to guide us.
Right.
And so that's one thing I see happening these days. I find myself asking a lot more, for lack of a better word, older people to pray for me. You know, please pray that I would act and obey the Lord when he tells me to go talk to someone or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, older people would like to save younger people from some potholes that we fell into. Right. And also, I think it's very tempting as we get older to get cynical and get tired because we did fall in some potholes. We did face some challenges, but we can be a much stronger army if we work together. Yeah. You know, an enemy would always like to pull an army apart instead of together. I think from an older person's perspective, it's surprising to find that young people want to pursue us and want to know what we know and want to be spoken into, because it often seems like they're disengaged, or, and of course the fashions change, and then we make judgments about people based on fashion, which may not actually be true at all. And so it's kind of a surprise, I think, from older people. And both of us need to be pursuing the other.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And so my heart, my thing is about turning the hearts of the children of the fathers. We need to, my message really is generally to young people, like, if you want a spiritual mother or father, find someone, you know, ask the Lord, like, who should I pursue? And then try to serve them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a big thing. Service, service, service.
Just like Elisha poured water over Elijah's hand.
Exactly. Yeah. That's it.
Yes.
That's it.
And from a perspective as an older person, I see people who would like to be in charge but who have failed to bring up others. You know, a good parent raises children, not to stay children, mm-hmm. but to become functional adults and good parents themselves. Mm-hmm. And another resource is Matt Sorger's The Apostolic Church Arising. I just wept because this is what he addresses. You know, I have heard a lot of people who want the titles mm-hmm. of apostle or whatever,
mm-hmm.
but really I'm interested in seeing the work of raising up young people to go
yeah.
out and do ministry. So,
yeah.
Well, let's keep our promise, and let's talk about what to do with our frustrating family, because it's going to be cooped up with these frustrating family members here at Christmas time, some of whom may be believers but frustrating and some of whom may not. What can we do?
The two kind of the phrases or words that have been running through my head throughout this broadcast. One is forgiveness, and it's great. We can't get away from it. You've got to forgive others. That's one thing I had to forgive my dad for, a lot of stuff, and that really eased my pain, because if you're with someone and you haven't forgiven them, then you're going to have all these grudges against them kind of running through you throughout the time. And so after you forgive someone, though, another key thing is to learn to love without expectation,
mm-hmm.
like that someone will return it. And that's a real key thing, I guess, throughout Jesus' life and ministry. He loved without expectation. You know, mm-hmm. Jesus loved Judas and raised up Judas as a leader,
mm-hmm.
even though, I mean, presumably he knew he was going to betray him.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jesus, I mean, he knew that his love was not going to be returned,
mm-hmm.
and he still loved him anyway. And I know it's, hopefully we're not raising up Judases. I mean, knowingly, I hope, but I do pray that the Lord would teach us all how to love those who, with whom we have a difficult time, not just our enemies, but family members, which can be even more difficult because you have to be with them. And it's, I don't know, the issues never seem to end, I'll be honest with you, but just learn to love them without expectation.
Right. Forgiveness, love, and restraining our own tongue, you know,
Amen.
Because we have to see
Amen.
That often we're the 13-year-old in the situation. Sometimes it's our problem, even though we like to say it's somebody else's.
Yeah.
Well, great. Well, thanks so much for your insights, Will. And I want to invite everyone to blog us. Tell us your insights and ask questions of us. You can do that now if you just go to www.greatshalom.org. We're also up on podcasting, so you can hear the program later. Tell your friends, and soon you'll be able to subscribe to that. And write in. Of course, you can write us in land mail, P.O. Box 971, Austin 78630. And remember, there is no recession in the kingdom of heaven. All of Malachi is still good. And we want to give God our full tithes and offerings, because it works like this. You sow your field, you tithe, God will protect your harvest, and then invest your offerings, and he'll give you 30, 60, 100 fold. That's not interest. That's fold. So invest in the kingdom. So let's pray, and I'll invite you, Will, in a minute. But I just invite anyone who's listening, if you're thirsty for God, I just invite you to receive God's gift. He's ready to pour out on you. So just pray this. Say, God, I know I'm not right, but I'm willing to be made right with you. I know I'm messed up, but I'm willing that you should clean me up. So I receive your gift to me. I receive Jesus' sacrifice. I believe you raised him from the dead. I confess Jesus is Lord, and I receive new life. I receive the whole package, all the gifts, healing in all of my body and in my family.
Amen. Well, Lord, God, Holy Spirit, show me to pray. Lord, I pray that for forgiveness, that you would release forgiveness this holiday season in a major way. and the lives of those who are listening. God, I pray for more of that in my own life, but I just ask for forgiveness, 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 that we would be able to forgive others, that you would bring reconciliation. Lord, we are ministers of the gospel of reconciliation. So, Lord, please bring that in our personal lives. Matthew 18 at its fullest. In Jesus' name.
Yeah. Heal our families and heal the family of the church. Amen. In Jesus' name. And if you'd like some more resources on this, if you go to www.greatshalom.org, you see some books that I like and Will likes, and you can click through www.greatshalom.org. Great like big, so it's www.great, shalom is shalom.org, greatshalom.org. .org, and get those. And so we just wish you a Merry Christmas and a prosperous New Year, a year of great shalom.
And of course, we would love to hear from you. If you'd like to write us or send us a Christmas card, you may do so at P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas 78630. Write me at the Great Shalom Broadcast Ministry. My name is Sharon Sarles, and our address is P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas 78630. But the website does have blogging capability, so you can write your greetings in right there. It's easy. You just type it in the box at www.greatshalom.org, www.greatshalom.org. And this is Sharon Sarles proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children. Merry Christmas, y'all!